We'll receive your word
with plainness of speech. We declare, we declare that there's no error in this atmosphere. There's clarity. And we receive your word in simplicity today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
We started up 2 weeks ago on the topic of
believers' conduct, right? Running 11 weeks. That's a week. It's week 3.
Okay. Hallelujah. Believers' conduct. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. He says, but if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Say the pillar and the ground of truth.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we began looking at what the church is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we concluded on the fact that the church is the way the word church is used, ecclesia, is used for the gathering and an individual believer, right?
Hallelujah. That's how the word church. Now, we said that never was a building referred to as a church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We said we will call our gathering here a church because we are here. This building does not make it a church. This building is where we gather, where the church meets, right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And we also said that the word church is an Old Testament narrative. That to the Jews, when they hear the word church, what comes to mind, first of all, is the Exodus movement. Hallelujah. What comes to mind is the Exodus movement, how they were delivered from Egypt,
which will prefigure the new birth.
Hallelujah. To prefigure the new birth. Also, when they hear the word, when the word church is heard by a typical Jew, something else comes to mind. Their assembly in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
We said that just now. Their assembly in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that assembly is the assembly of those who were delivered from where? From where? Egypt.
Hallelujah.
This also will prefigure the gathering of the saints.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. It says, and let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Hallelujah. As is in the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so. So much the more as you see the day approaching.
Hallelujah.
Our gathering is referred to as the word church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 2 verse 46.
Acts 2:46.
It says, so continue daily in one accord in the temple and breaking of bread house to house. He says, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church.
Now, when he said the Lord added to the church, I mean added to their gathering daily. Did you get that? To their gathering.
Hallelujah.
So, the church is the assembly of believers together.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also, last week, we began looking at the fact that the believers are the temple of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are the temple of God. And then we began to say, we now looked at what are the conduct that should be found in this temple.
Hallelujah. We looked at Jesus saying, my Father's house is the house to be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And we looked at it from John's account, where John said, my Father's house should not be a place of merchandise.
Hallelujah.
And we said there are some things, or we looked at what should not be found in the body,
in the gathering.
Hallelujah. one should not be found. Hallelujah. It's not the place of merchandise. So to receive.
Hallelujah. You know the slogan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we see one of such conduct that can be that should be found is prayer. Hallelujah. We say prayer is one of those conduct that should be found in the Father's house.
In the Father's house. And we look at the fact that the Father's house, we are the Father's house because of the Spirit of God that is in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, when Paul writes, in context of what he was writing as regards the gathering in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as regards the gathering, he just finished telling them about what? He just finished telling them about the qualities of a bishop, the qualities of a deacon. Now, he said, all right, that you may know how you also conduct yourself. Now, he's referring to their gathering. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Is it in the house of God? Which is the church of the living God, said the pillar and the ground of truth. Hallelujah. And we looked at that word and we said that church, the house of God also means an individual believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we cannot narrow it to how the believer should conduct himself. Hallelujah. In the gathering. Hallelujah. And the activities that should be found in our lives. Hallelujah. And so one of such is prayer. One of such is prayer. Prayer is very, how should I put it? Prayer is one of the activities that should be found in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we looked at Jesus. We said Jesus fulfilled God's plan on the earth. And we saw that he was given to prayer. Hallelujah. He was given to prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, we also said something that what you did not see in the earthly ministry of Christ should not be found in the life of the believer. Meaning Jesus is, you know, we're going to look at that maybe next week or next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is our prototokos. He's our model. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He's our prototokos. He's the first and the model son. Now, we look at him to know how we should live. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So, you cannot find in his earthly ministry in Christ should not be found in your life or in your ministry, in your work. Hallelujah. Now, what we find him do should be what we should be found doing. Do you understand me? So he shows us how the Christian walk should be, how the Christian conduct should be, how the Christian should conduct himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we found him praying. Most often than not, we found Christ praying. Hallelujah. We saw that last week. Now, the same thing too, if you watch, you'll find the disciples do the same. The disciples did the same. Hallelujah. In fact, one of the first activities we'll find the disciples doing after Jesus left their side was that they were praying. You know, after Jesus left their side, they rejoiced. And the next thing we find them doing is that they were praying. Acts 1 verse 14, quickly. Act of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14. Act 1 14. It says, and they all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What were they doing? They were praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They continued in prayer. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. Let's start from verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all, and who has accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out of among us. Say, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken from us. Now, of this must become a witness with us at his resurrection. Now, they were about to choose
who will take over the position of Judas. Hallelujah. Now, they listed out their qualities. Look at verse 23. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was son named Justus, and Matthias. Look at verse 24. What did they do? And they prayed and said, what did they do? They prayed and said, oh Lord, who knows the heart of all? Show us which of these two you have chosen. Look at this. Just like Jesus Christ. Jesus, before he chose his disciples, we saw that last week, he was found doing what? Praying not through the night, right? He was found praying. Now, the disciples want to choose who would replace Judas. What were they doing? They prayed. You see that? The same thing too they would do in Acts of Apostles chapter 6. That's how they did the same thing. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6, verse 6. They needed somebody, they needed people to serve tables. Acts 6, verse 6. Out of Apostles chapter 6, look at verse 6. After they've chosen them, now look at verse 6. Whom they said before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. Did you see that? They prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. They prayed. Glory to God. Remember, they chose, they proposed those who they wanted to, just the same way they did in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, and then they prayed. Glory to God. Amen. Now you find them do the same thing that Christ did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were found praying. Look at chapter 2 of Acts. Acts 2. Now, after the believers meeting in verses 1 to 4, Peter preached. When he was done preaching, 3,000 did what? 3,000 received the message. Hallelujah. 3,000 received the message. Chapter 2 of Acts. Look at verse 42 quickly. And those who received the gospel, verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Did you see that? They continued also in prayers. So part of the first activities too that these new disciples were exposed to was what? Praying. It is important to note, I wrote here, that part of the first activity of a new convert should be, part of the first activity a new convert should be exposed to is prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Prayer. All the first activities. Mark by grammar. Part of the first activities should be prayer. Don't say, there's no way that will say it's not yet right to pray. Just allow him, let you receive message. Mm-hmm. You must expose that one to prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And Peter, we are looking at how the disciples, we're looking at prayer as the lifestyle of the disciples. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They also had times of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They had times of prayer. And I wrote something, I said, just like the disciples, I believe strongly that every disciple of Christ should have dedicated time of prayer, of devoted prayer. You must have dedicated personally. You know, as a church, we have times to pray. Hallelujah. We have times to pray while we pray. But personally, you should have dedicated times of prayer. And the minimum should be what? 1 hour. For a leader, minimum 3 hours.
Hallelujah.
Minimum. They had time of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being the hour of prayer, they had time. Devote. So if you are a disciple of Christ, you must be found doing what Christ was found doing, praying. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You must be found praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are going out for follow-up. Well, part of the fourth activity, your disciple, the people you are discipling should be exposed to, should be prayer. And they must see you pray. You know, prayer is not what you just say. It is what, we'll get to that. It is learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is learned by example.
by teaching and by example.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So prayer is both length, is both thought and cut. Hallelujah. It's both thought and cut. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at chapter 4. We're going chapter by chapter. We see them pray. Look at chapter 4. I'll give us a background of chapter 4. They were forbidden to preach in the name of Christ. They were forbidden to preach. Make sure we don't catch you preach. You understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, verse 23, and being let go. Did you get that? Are you with me? I wanted to show us something. Look at verses. I'll read verse 16, 17, 18, and then we'll go to 23. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confided among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so it spread no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all of teaching the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company, to their own companion. They went to their own cell meeting. They went to their cell group. They went to their HCL. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And verse 24, so when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea? And they prayed. Look at verse 29. He said, and Lord, look at their threat and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. They were praying. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now they were threatening. We saw that Peter and John, you know, some people, when the opposition come, they try to take his step out, or they try to chicken out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, these guys didn't chicken out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They didn't chicken out. You were not, you see, they didn't say, ah, bro, the way you preached last week changed the world, you know. You know, and you know, some people begin to tell you, some words folks begin to tell you, use wisdom. You know, we don't want to be able to direct. No. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When they received those opposition, what did they do? They prayed. Their prayer was not, oh Lord, kill my enemies. No. What was the prayer? Look at verse 24. He said, or verse 29. He said, now Lord, look at their threat and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. With all boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, it's very important to know. Look at what now happened in verse 31. When they prayed, they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When believers pray. No, now, listen.
When believers pray, it drowns fear.
If you see, you could not listen. You could know a believer that does not pray. You could know.
He just see fear everywhere.
When there are issues, he gets afraid.
Oh, what if? Oh, that statement, what if, is the word.
The word what if?
What if?
Maybe.
What if?
But
is this? Those are grammar. Those are conjunction words for the man that does not pray. Do you understand me?
Those are words that are voiced out in fear.
Glory to God.
So when believers pray, it drowns fear.
You start to see as God sees.
The day not to preach, you know.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a song that says, your thought has changed for his thoughts.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You understand me?
You see as God sees.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You begin to see as God sees. You see men as the way God sees them. You see the man who is not born again the way God sees them. God doesn't see them as those condemned to hell. No. God sees them as the one that his son died for. This is the reason why Christ came.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And his heartbeat is that all men come to repentance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That all men come to repentance. So what is, so when the moment you pray, you see men the way God sees them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul will say, the gospel is the power of God to save the life. Romans 1:16. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God's power is vested in the gospel.
Hallelujah.
So when you pray, you see as God sees.
Hallelujah.
Your weakness is exchanged for his strength. Your weakness is exchanged for his strength in the place of prayer.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Chapter 6, verse 4. Peter made a very profound statement here. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
We'll look at that shortly. Continually to prayer.
Hallelujah.
Continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. In verse 6, what we just read, they needed people to serve tables and they prayed.
Glory to God.
To serve tables. To serve tables. To serve tables.
Glory to God.
It looks natural, right? It looks natural. You know, just to serve tables. But wisdom, are you taking it like, no? John, serve 2 delicate rice. Give the pastor wisdom. Give him. Are we easy? No. Give him 2 bars of yam. Is it not simple? Hallelujah. But to do these tasks, they prayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are pastor's protocol. We are having a meeting. You want to have pastor's protocol. Oh, I'm in usher.
See me, usher will be just to smile.
Yeah. Welcome to church.
Have you?
Welcome to church.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is once it has to do with the tax amongst brethren, should not be taken lightly. You don't take it lightly. You don't take it as menial. You don't take it as normal. No. My job is to come and fix this. So is it not just to use spin and no?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I wrote something. I said, do not call any tax in the work of ministry minor. No tax in the work of ministry is called minor. Never should any decision be taken in the work of ministry outside prayer. Never. No decision should be taken in the work of ministry outside prayer.
Look at Acts chapter 13 quickly, verse 2. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Verse 3. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away.
You cannot take any decision in ministry outside prayer. Are you hearing me? Even when, you see, when, listen, even when the decision is the leading of God's Spirit at that point, you must pray.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Just like that, so we pray for Zamfara. We know it's God's leading, right? But we still have to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you understand me? Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand that? He said, the Lord, pray. But I don't know, it's not God that just said, God spoke to you, Pastor. He said, no, pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't take decisions without praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's see how the epistles teaches prayer. Let's see how the epistles, how prayer is taught in the epistles. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, are you there? Verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let me read how the New King James will put it. It says, continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Being vigilant in it in thanksgiving. That is what the King James called watch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at the word continue. It's the Greek word proskasterio. Proskasterio. Proskaterio. It's a word that implies to give an unremitting care. To give an unremitting care to a thing. To an event, to give an unremitting care, or to be in constant eagerness of doing something. To give an unremitting care, or to be in constant eagerness. You find the word used in Acts 2 verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly. Acts 2:42. It shows, in that verse, the word is used to show the commitment of the disciples to prayer as a lifestyle. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, didactic, the apostles' mode of explanation, the apostles' mode of teaching, and in prayer. So they stayed at it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You find that word also in Act of Apostles chapter 8 verse 13. Act 8:13. To continue. You find it in Romans. We'll get to Romans soon. You find the word in Romans chapter 12. Quickly, let me just show you. Romans 12. Second. Romans 12 verse 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. The new king, not lagging. Hallelujah. Not lagging in diligence. Not slothful in business. That is the word. The word business is the word diligence. Diligence. Hallelujah. Not slothful in diligence. It says, fervent in spirit. It says, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You do see? Continuing instant in prayer. Glory to God. So, this will call, for admonishing the believers to continue instant
That word, to this time, the word procastero, to be, to continue in, or to give, to be in constant eagerness of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, this is how, he said, you serve the Lord in continuing instant in prayer. Do you understand me? Constant eagerness in prayer is service to the Lord. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. And I said, in continuing. He said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. He said, continuing instant in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul meant that they should remain in constant eagerness of prayer. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, let's look at another word there. Is the word watch. 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 There's a Greek word, Gregorio. Gregorio. It means to give attention. It's a word that implies to keep away. That's what the word is. To keep away. Hallelujah. To keep away. To keep away. Hallelujah. It means, or it implies to give attention. To give attention. Hallelujah. So in praying, it calls for serious devotion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It calls for serious devotion. Serious devotion to prayer. I wrote here, I said, no one who wants to fulfill God's will do it outside prayer. No one who wants to fulfill God's will do it outside prayer. He's not praying for material things. Oh Lord, give me a good life. Give me a good job. No. Hallelujah. Look at that. Sure. Hallelujah. So, prayer calls for discipline. It calls for discipline. That's what Paul is saying. Prayer calls for discipline. It calls for discipline and devotion. And devotion, devoted time. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer will call for believers. Listen, it will call for believers to have a constant and dedicated time to pray. Prayer is not an option for a believer. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is not what you might do or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer is not an option for the believer. Rather, prayer should be a constant. It should be a constant. It's an instruction. It's a continuing instant in prayer. That's an instruction. Continuing instant in prayer. It's an instruction. So it must be a constant. It must be something you do consistently. Hallelujah. You have devoted time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In ministry, I have those who, you see, in ministry, when ministry started, there are people that came into my life at several points that taught me several things. Hallelujah. You understand me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer is a constant. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not an option. So what does prayer do? What does prayer do? Remember, we are still looking at prayer in the epistles. But let's look at what does prayer do? The epistles teach that we should pray consistently. Right? Now, what does prayer do? What does prayer do?
That's a little child.
What is prayer? He said, prayer is the key. What does prayer do?
Somebody said, prayer will help you unlock money.
That's nonsense, man. Hallelujah. You pray to kill your enemy. Childish. How many of your enemy have died? I don't know why people don't think. Hallelujah. How many of them have died? So you must, you see, glory to God. Hallelujah.
But they will pray to kill Satan.
Even before you have tried. You see? Hallelujah. Glory to God. People have attended serious seminars or serious meetings to kill their enemy. You know, Pastor Shek was sharing something with us this morning. And he said something.
Okay. Let me personalize it.
Pastor Shek was sharing something with me this morning. Hallelujah. And he said something very important. He said he saw a flyer, a banner, that said, the caption of the banner is this. I know people will not in Africa, and I don't know the kind of mentality. I don't know the kind of mentality that exists in Africa. If you have such kind of banner, let's say in US, it's just you and the people that pasted the banner that were there. He said, my uncle. What is it again? My uncle. Take your legs from my destiny. Let me see. Let me tell you what I saw. I saw one. Dealing with. It's a preamble. Dealing with the foundational fault. I don't understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer to kill your. Prayer to kill who is holding your destiny. You know, I saw it on WhatsApp. Somebody sent all those banners to me. So I was just looking. You see something like that, right? Funny banners. Maybe I'll share with you. Hallelujah. When you see banners, you don't be wondering. You don't see Echo Road, Port Harcourt. Hallelujah. Don't worry. After this series, we'll have a little. I'll just teach one day on spiritual warfare. I don't know who like that. Spiritual warfare or spiritual battle. No, battle. Listen, battle. Let's see. Then we'll now look at or no. Let me not use battle. Fighting the fight. Fighting the fight. Makes sense. Fighting the fight. So we'll now look at how the word fight is used in the scripture. Maybe it will further help us. You know that? The Father helps some people. Hallelujah. Now when you hear those things, you know, when you hear people do, you now understand why we don't get those things. It's funny because the real fight we're told to fight is in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's scripture. Hallelujah. You understand? This is the preaching of the gospel. That is the fight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I don't get pissed off about people doing that. Hallelujah. You know? You know, those kind of things are what breed some mentalities in some people. I've heard someone say, I really didn't want to get angry with the person. I don't want to get angry with the person because I respected the person. Do you understand? My grandmom died at the age of 100 and about 113 or 14. That's the last 2 or 3 years. Now, I don't tell the person that my grandmom is late. And I said, how old? And I said, 100 and I called the age. You know what he replied? He said, witches and wizards. If not for the respect I had for that person, and for the fact that the woman had gone in peace, being a Christian, you understand me? I would have swapped the person. It's, do you understand? It's people's mentality. Somebody is getting to 90. Demon. Do you understand? Because you've attended such kind of. Where you've been deceived that there will always be a black sheep in the family to kill you. Hallelujah. Who has bewitched you before we say? Who has bewitched you? That's why you now begin to see people use statements like God and devil. You know, I've actually corrected it here. You know, some people say God and Satan are opposite beings. So they are opposite forces. You know, it's crazy. Hallelujah.
opposite forces. So God is fighting with Satan. Satan is fighting. Are you okay? Are you okay? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I don't waste my strength for nothing. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
How many times have you found? How many times? Let what is in the scriptures direct you. Let what is in the scriptures direct you. How many have you seen the disciples? They are forced to pray the way you see or you be praying. My enemy should die. Woo! Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Let's calm down. What does prayer do? Act. Let me just give you a background to what I want to say. Now, when Jesus was captured, what happened to the disciples? Permit me to use a barak word. They fainted. Yoruba will call it the japa. They run. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Eh? They run. Pia. Peter denied him, right? The rest, we did not see. We did not see the rest. Peter actually had mind, you know? Peter was the one that was, he had genge. When Jesus said, I was going to say, no. For what? Right? He thought it's by the mouth he was making. So he got to a point into Jatta, into Rome. So Jesus was left alone, right? Now, where did they run to? They were all afraid. They ran out of town. Hallelujah. They went hiding. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
They went hiding. Now, listen. But at his resurrection, if you study Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, Acts 1, 2 to 3, quickly. Verse 2 into verse 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So listen to this. Jesus, after he resurrected, appeared to his disciples and taught them for 40 days. Do you understand me? He taught them for 40 days. Do you understand me? But now that was what Luke wrote here. Hallelujah. He showed himself to them 40 days. What was he doing? Was he coming to tell them, look at my hand? Snap me. Look at my leg. No! I don't know what you're doing. The Bible showed us that he taught them for 40 days. Luke 24, 25. He got to a door on their way to heaven. He said, oh fools! Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 25. Hallelujah. Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Hallelujah. And he said, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Meaning, he started teaching from Genesis to where? Malachi. Hallelujah. Concerning himself, verse 44, he came to his own, the 11, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. How do you open their understanding? By teaching. Hallelujah. So for 40 days, Jesus was teaching them consistently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get that? He was teaching them consistently. And when he was done doing that, he gave them an instruction in Matthew 28. Luke 24 to 47 to 49. He gave them an instruction. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Which is to preach this gospel. Remember Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things. Matthew 28:20, he said, teaching them the gospel, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Meaning, all what he taught them within the 40 days, he gave them the instruction to teach the same. Hallelujah. Because what he taught them within the 40 days was not different from what he taught them while he was with them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what was he teaching them? Luke will say, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he told them to do what? To do the same and make disciples of every nation. Glory to God. Now, the moment that happened, the moment Christ was taken
or was gone out of their sight, what happened? Verses 14 and showed us that they gave themselves to prayer. Right? They gave themselves to prayer. Watch. In chapter 2, they were praying. In chapter 2, what happened? They partook of the Spirit from within, right? They took of the Spirit, right? They took of the Spirit in chapter 2, verse 1, into verse 4, verse 16. Look at what now happened to Paul. To Peter. Look at what happened to Peter. The Bible says, Peter spoke boldly. Peter spoke boldly.
This was the same Peter that a small girl made him run. Small picking, make him japa, he run. He fainted. Hallelujah. This same Peter spoke freely. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. Follow me. Verse 14, rather. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Hallelujah. He stood and spoke boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3, what we read earlier. They have time to pray. Chapter 4, verse 18. What we read also, Peter spoke boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Why? Listen, one. Number one, they were taught by Christ for 40 days. Number two was that they were given to prayer. So, therefore, what they were taught, which was actually their conviction, was deepened. In fact, if you see the way Peter spoke, you see, it was as if the boldness was harsh level. They had, if you read out through the book of Acts, you discover that from Acts of Apostles chapter 1 till 15. Let me talk about 15 for that. From 1 to 15, you discover that their boldness was like harsh level. It was as if he was in a progressional stuff. Do you understand? Because they kept praying. Hallelujah. They were giving to prayer. So their convictions were deepening. Now, what Jesus spoke to them about in the 40 days was not different from what he taught them while he was with them. Right? Right? Listen. Yes, something has happened to them at his resurrection. Remember, they believed. Something has happened to them at his resurrection. They became born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They became born again at his resurrection. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Now, listen to this and listen well. It was, yes, that is a significant, significant event that took place. But it was the same one that he taught them. Hallelujah. Listen, it was the same thing that he taught them concerning himself. Now, listen. But now they were given to prayer the more. That conviction was down deepened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, that conviction was deepened. Their conviction about Christ was deepened. Hallelujah. Now, amen. Peter could speak boldly in chapter 2. Hallelujah. And 3,000 were saved. In chapter 4, listen, chapter 3, they were given, we saw that they had times of prayer. Now, chapter 4, when they were chatting, Peter had, you know, in front of those, should I call them, in front of those bros. Those elders. The chief priests and the elders, they spoke boldly. They spoke boldly. And they said, do judge for yourself. Should we listen to a man or to God? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You saw how in we saw Paul before Festus. He spoke boldly, even in chains. Hallelujah. He spoke boldly. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. But the point that the guy now said, one of the council people, I guess it was Agrippa, now told him, bro, I almost became a Christian. Hallelujah. Because of the way he spoke. In fact, Paul was in chain and they told him, you are becoming a fool of yourself. Because he spoke freely, as though there was no chain in his hands. Watch those boldness. Look at the boldness. They were men giving to prayer. Hallelujah. So your conviction about Christ is deepened in prayer. One who is not giving to prayer, you see that one jumping from one doctrine to the other. His conviction is not good. Today he said, yes, glory to God. The things of God are freely given. They are mine, hallelujah. Amen. Tomorrow you see, he say, ah, I want to sow seed to that. Next tomorrow you hear him say, I don't believe in prosperity message again. I don't believe in great salvation. You just know, when you hear people do that, just say they are not, just know that they are not praying. If they tell you that they are praying, their prayer is for something else. Their prayer is not prayer. Hallelujah. I don't pray in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody once chatted me up. He said, no, I saw a guy posted something on Facebook. He said, I've listened to prosperity message. I've listened to grace message. I've listened to... You're just talking nonsense. Hallelujah. Nonsense to me. That's nonsense. Is there, all of them have a point? There's no point. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is prosperity message? Prosperity message. Let me tell you, the main prosperity message is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Any other thing, tapping to receive or receiving to tap, I don't understand. It's not in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
After Apostle chapter, Hebrews 13. That they have to be established with grace. So the message of Christ is the message of God's graciousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So our conviction is deepened in the place of prayer. Let's look at that word. Acts 4:31. So prayer, what does prayer do? It deepens your conviction. The words you've heard, you pray. It deepens your conviction. Look at chapter 4, verse 31. It said, and when they had prayed, the place where they were was, where they were assembled together was shaking. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at that word boldness. It's the Greek word parousia. It implies to be outspoken. Parousia, P-A-R-E-S-S-I-A. Parousia is a word that implies to be outspoken with confidence and bold, and all boldness. To be outspoken. And they spoke word of, you know, parousia is speaking without fear. You know, when you speak the word of God and you damn the consequences. Just like the what were these people in Daniel? The three evil brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood to the king, they told the king, say, king, oh king, we are not careful to answer anything this man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They damned the consequences. The king, they treated them. They will put them in the burning furnace. In fact, it will be hotter. Hallelujah. He said, oh king, we are not careful. He said, see, let me tell you. He said, because we know our God is able to deliver us from your hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, if not, hallelujah.
Amen.
If not, meaning if you decide not to even deal with us, if you decide not to put us in the burning furnace, we will not bow down to the golden image. We will not worship you as our God. Did you understand me? We will not worship you as our God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you carry out your threat by putting us in that furnace, we will not bow. Even if you don't, even if you decide not to, and you pardon us, we will not skip out.
Glory to God.
We will not skip out. Why? That is parousia. It's boldness. Freely speaking. Hallelujah. Freely speaking.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You find out what parousia used in John 7:4. Let me just look at, let me just tell you how it's used in the epistles. 2 Corinthians, you find it in 2 Corinthians 3:12, 7:4, Ephesians 3:2, 6:19. We'll look at the Ephesians 3:2 shortly. It's in Philippians 1:20, Colossians 2:15, 1 Timothy 3:13, 1 Timothy 3:13, Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 3:6, 4:16, 10:19, 10:35. Let's look at John 5:16 quickly. John 5:16. What does prayer do? John chapter 5 verse 16. I know we have it, we ministered on something like this last year, right? What does prayer do?
Right?
James 5 verse 16.
James 5, 16. Are you there? Are you in James chapter 5, verse 16? Say, confess your trespass one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We'll look at this. As we discuss, even in this, as we discuss, we'll look at the hallelujah. Now you look at that spectacle, hallelujah. Now you may be healed. Now say the effectual. Let's take that. The effectual. Heart. Okay. I'm already quoting Amplify. The effectual or the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Old King James will say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's look at that one. Let's look at that one. Effectual. The word effectual is the Greek word energio. Energio. Effectual. Energio. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effectual. Energio. That word energio. We have a similar word to it, energy. It's the word that implies to be active or be fully operative. It's the word that implies to be active or fully operative. Energy. To be active or fully operative. We'll come back and look at it shortly. Another word here is the word availeth. Availeth is the word that means, let me just spell it, I-S-C-H-U-O, it's true. It implies to make something available for you. Do you understand me? It implies to make something available for you. That word istio has a root word. The root word is istios, I-S-C-H-U-S. That word implies or it refers to a force or a strength. Do you understand? It refers to a force or strength. A force or a strength. So, you know, that means the word istio means a force or a strength or to make something available for you. So, listen. That word istios, I-S-C-H-U-S, Paul used it in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. To describe power. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 5, 1:9. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, this shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, Istios, of his strength. Hallelujah. Of his force. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the word power means his strength, his force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul also used the same word in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we'll look at this shortly. Glory to God. Ephesians 3:20, you have the word used. You have it in Ephesians 1:18-19 and 6 verse 10. That word. Look at Luke 10:27. Luke 10:27. That word istios is used here as strength. And he answered and said, you shall love your Lord, your Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, with all your strength. That word istios. Hallelujah. With all your strength. You find it also in Mark chapter 12. Mark 12 verse 30. Hope you are following me. Hope you are opening your Bibles. Mark 12 verse 30. The same thing too, with all your strength. Let's see how Paul uses that word. Let's see how Paul uses these words, which is energio and istos, to the church in Ephesus. Let's see how he uses the word as he writes to the church at Ephesus. Are you following me? Are you following me? Let's see how he uses that word as he writes to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 3:20. Let's start from there. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, are you there? Say, and to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He uses that word, you know. We're looking at how Paul uses the word energio and istos. How he uses the word, hallelujah. He said, and to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, Paul says,
listen, Paul says, this power, the word power here is the word dunamis. The word dunamis is the word that means the ability to make something happen. It's an ability. Now he said that ability is at work in us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he says, now this ability, listen.
Now this power, as I wrote, he said this power, that is the ability to make something available, in Ephesians 3 is described first in chapter 1. That is, this power that Paul speaks about in chapter 3, Paul described this ability in chapter 1.
Hallelujah. This power, he described it in chapter 1. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians 1:18-19.
Ephesians 1:18-19. Let's just look at verse 19. It said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? Well,
remember, this power is at work in the believer. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul is now praying for them. He says in verse 18,
that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And
that is what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
According to the working of his mighty power. Look at that verse 19 again. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now he described the power as what exceedingly great.
The power of work in the believer, Paul described it as what exceedingly great.
Let's look at that word exceeding. It's from the Greek word hyperbalo. Hyperbalo. Hyperbalo implies to show something. No, it means
to go beyond the mark. Do you understand? It implies to go beyond the mark. Beyond a mark. Of the mark. For example, you intended that, okay, this thing should stop here. And it went beyond here. And it went beyond the mark. You know that you show something beyond the target. That target becomes the minimum. So, beyond the target. Beyond the mark. Let's see how Paul will use it in Ephesians 2. Quickly, verse 7.
Ephesians 2:7. It says, I'll start from verse 5, that you understand. Even when he raised, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Beyond. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You see, that word, that is the word that passes knowledge. Do you understand me? Ideal knowledge, scientific knowledge. Hallelujah.
The love of Christ exceeds knowledge. Do you understand that? surpasses knowledge. That is it. That is hyperbalo. To go beyond. Do you understand that? To go beyond.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can also find it in 2 Corinthians 3:10 and 9:14. So the power at work in the believer goes beyond boundaries. It goes beyond human comprehension. It goes beyond, do you understand it?
It goes beyond knowledge. It goes beyond idol, scientific knowledge. Hallelujah. It goes beyond boundaries. Hallelujah. Yeah. The power at work in the believer.
He
uses another word to qualify it. He uses the word greatness, exceeding greatness, exceeding greatness. The word greatness is the word megatos. It's from the word megas.
You know, we'll explain what megas is, right? Megas, wide expression, right?
Now, the word megas is on the word, it's from the root word megas, which implied wideness or magnitude.
Hallelujah.
It implied wideness or magnitude.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he described that power. Remember the word power there is dunamis, right? An ability, miraculous ability to make things happen. Now, he said that power is exceedingly great. Hyperbalot megatos. Hallelujah. Hyperbalot megatos. Exceedingly great, meaning it goes beyond the boundaries and it's wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's go ahead. Chapter Ephesians 1:19 again. Towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Let's look at that word workings. Is the word energy. Energies or energy.
Energia. Energy. Don't mind me, I just energy. We will have energy again. Energy. It implies efficient, operative, active. It implies efficient, operative. James, efficient, operative, active. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Efficient. Paul uses the same word in Ephesians 3, verse 7. It says, verse 6 to 7, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power.
Do you understand me? Effective working of his power. Or play something active.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 16 uses the same word. Is it verse 15 into 16? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, and from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, active working, by which every part does its share, causing growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Working active, efficient, effective. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he uses another word to qualify it in Ephesians 1:9 to qualify this power. He said, this power is mighty. He calls it mighty. That is where we get the word istios from. Well, I was explaining. Strength, force. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mighty. Talks about force. Now, he used another word, power, again. That word, power, is the word that means kratos. Kratos. It implies dominion. Dominion. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Amen.
You find the same word in 1 Timothy 6 verse 16. Hallelujah. It says, and who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power, dominion. Hallelujah. So the power at work in the believer, according to James, is made available for you in the place of prayer. Remember James said, the effective fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth men. Right? Meaning, the word availeth, you just said it, it makes it available, right? So the amplifier, you put it, the effectual, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man make a tremendous power available, right? Hallelujah. So what James is saying is that prayer makes this power that is inherent in the believer ready for use. Makes it ready for you. Hallelujah. So prayer makes this power available for you. This power that is exceeding. This power, hallelujah, that is great, mighty, mighty, dominating, Kratos. He said he's made it in the believer. And it's available in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. So in praying, listen, I know something here. See, you remember we just identified what this prayer is. Now in praying, we are exercising our believer's authority. You understand me? We could say in prayer, we exercise our believer's authority. I begin to round up now. When it comes to prayer, there's no impossibility. Hallelujah. Because the power at work in the believer, the power at work in the believer is what? You are alone. It goes beyond boundaries. Hallelujah. So there's no impossibility. You know, Pastor Wilson will say, you pick in the place of prayer, you could arrange broken bottles. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer. So what is naturally impossible is made possible in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Impossibility becomes possible. Impossibility that is in the natural, it's possible. Hallelujah, in the place of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What am I saying? Any work not built on prayer is built on falsehood, Pastor Shevin will say. Any work not built on prayer is built on falsehood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot efficiently stand firm on your conviction until you are given to prayer. You cannot efficiently stand firm. You cannot stand firm efficiently. Except you are given to prayer. Because in prayer, your wills are abandoned. Your wills give way to the will of God. Hallelujah. Your wills are abandoned. Your will is abandoned. It gives place. It gives way to the prayer. This way to the will of God. Or I put something, I said, when you pray, you leave or abandon your will. You allow the will of God to superimpose on your will. You lose every sense of your own will. Hallelujah. You cannot effectively live the believer's life. No one can effectively live as a believer. No one can effectively have a deepened believer's conviction outside of dedicated prayer attitude. You cannot say you have you are living a believer's life outside a praying attitude. You know, when men don't pray, the point when men don't pray, is the point where they allow it. Where they allow in what is not. Man, a man who is not given to prayer is easily moved, is easily swayed, is easily moved. A man not given to prayer is easily moved. When in the work you begin to allow in, listen, when in your work you begin to see
or you begin to see things, listen, when you begin to align yourself to wrong convictions or to wrong, how should I put it, to wrong doctrines. Let me use the word wrong doctrines, or when you begin to give way to fables, it's as a result of a non-praying habit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, believers, you can do a prayer check. You can do a prayer check. You can take on the prayer check. Hallelujah. What have you been listening to? What are your convictions within the last few days, last few months, in fact, the last few years? Are there scriptural? When a believer begins to act outside the scripture, that's a result of lack of dedicated, devoted prayer life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what I'm saying to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, I know. I know we could have influences. I know. But you know, it's still a lack of dedicated prayer life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, you can do a prayer check. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
As a ministry, we have dedicated time for prayer. We have dedicated time for prayer. Also, personally, you should have dedicated time for prayer. Have dedicated time for fast. Take on the fast. Hallelujah. Take on the vigil. Personally, pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, next week we'll also look at what should be the content of a believer's prayer. We'll look at it. Hallelujah. What should be your content? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I leave you with this. You know, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, quickly. Ephesians 6. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 18. It says, praying always. There is a constant instruction in the scriptures for us to pray. It says, praying always. How? Without prayer. How? In the spirit and supplication in the spirit. Hallelujah. You just get on praying in the spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 quickly. This is where I stop. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you there? Verses 2. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understanding, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the spirit. It implies that they should pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Pray always in tongues. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when your prayer is still tied to needs, it shows you are still babyish in your attitude. When your prayer is tied to your wants, it shows that you are still babyish in your attitude. Never in the epistles that we taught to pray for needs and wants. No. Hallelujah. Never were we taught to pray for needs and wants. Never did Jesus teach us to pray for needs and wants. No, he didn't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Never did Jesus teach us to pray for needs and wants. Hallelujah. He tells you, seek first the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we pray in the spirit. You know, you could go on 10 hours praying in the spirit. Go on 24 hours praying in the spirit. You can take a fast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your mind is not on anything, you're just praying in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen. You're making power available.
Making power available. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If your prayer is dedicated to want and need, then you need to watch it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like I said, next we're going to look at what should a believer pray for. What should be the content of a believer's prayer call?
Amen.
What should be a content of a believer's prayer?
We'll look at that next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today?